This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. We can never thank Allah enough that He has brought us so close to another Ramadan. And we beg Allah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He enables us to live through this Ramadan, and may this Ramadan be a source of purification for all of us, a source of increase in our good deeds, a source of increasing in closeness to our Lord Azza wa Jal. And may this Ramadan be better than all previous Ramadans that we have lived through. The fact is that every single day of our lives is a very special and a very important day. A day that will never ever return. Every single day is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single day we have the opportunity to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and to earn His generous rewards. So while Ramadan, yes, we want to make sure that we benefit from every single day, the fact is that we have to start preparing for Ramadan from now. Don't wait for the first day of Ramadan to seek forgiveness, to worship, to increase in your recitation of the Quran, to be a little nicer to the people around you. Begin right now. Because the thing is that When we are not in the habit of dealing with people in a good way, when we're not in the habit of praying salah, when we're not in the habit of reciting Quran, when we're not in the habit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when the month of Ramadan comes, then we struggle a lot. So in order to make use, in order to benefit from every single day of Ramadan, we have to prepare now. We have to begin now. So inshallah, the things that we're going to discuss today, I would like for you to think about incorporating these things from now. Meaning start doing these things from today. Don't wait for the first day of Ramadan to become the most excellent version of yourself. Start trying now, because change happens gradually, especially when it comes to habits that we have to change and new behaviors that we need to bring about, then that requires time and effort. So I hope, inshallah, that the things that we're going to discuss today are going to be become lifelong habits, not just things that we're going to practice in the month of Ramadan and we're going to end in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have believed, إِرْكَعُوا All of you should make rukur, وَاسْجُدُوا And you should make sajda, وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ And you should worship your Lord, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ And you should do good things, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ In order that you may be successful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should pray salah, we should perform rukur and sujood, but we should also do ibadah, we should also worship our Lord otherwise. Our worship should not just be limited to prayers. There should be worship outside of salah as well. And then it shouldn't just be that we are focused on ritual acts of worship. We should also do good things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ In order that you may be successful. So this is the key to success. And when the month of Ramadan enters, then a caller calls out, يُنَادِي مُنَادٍ We learn in hadith that an announcement is made that ya baghi al-khayri aqbil, that O seeker of goodness, come forward, advance. Meaning this is your time to accelerate, to really give it your best, to do the best that you can to increase in your good deeds. وَيَا بَاغِيَ الشَّرِّ أَقْصِرْ. And O seeker of evil, the person who does evil things, take a break. Stop right now. Why? Because this month of Ramadan is really a time to increase in our good deeds. This is not a time when we want to be, wasting our time doing useless things or things that will become a source of regret and burden for us on the Day of Judgment. So with this in mind, let us talk about what are the good things that we can do every single day of the month of Ramadan. So, the fact is that every single person, they have their own unique circumstances, their own unique situation. Your life is very different from my life. Your life is very different from perhaps even your spouse's life. The responsibilities that you have, the nature of your work, the nature of your responsibilities, or your health, or your family circumstances vary from the people who are around you. So the first thing is that we should not compare ourselves to people, and don't just spend your Ramadan wishing for things to be different so that you could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. Because every single person can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given the situation that they're in. We have the example of the prophets of Allah. And the thing is that every single prophet, their life was very different. We see that Nuh alayhi salam, he did not have a huge community of believers with him. We have Ayyub alayhi salam who experienced a great deal of sickness in his body. We have the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, who had wealth and power. But each of the prophets of Allah every single prophet of Allah was an excellent worshipper to Allah. So the first thing we have to do is that we have to accept, we have to embrace the unique circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in. And we have to assure ourselves, remind ourselves that it is possible for me to worship Allah the way that I am right now. Because of the current situation, things have changed drastically for many people. People who were not working from home are now, working exclusively from home. Or people who have been recently married are now, navigating through a very different lifestyle. People who may have relocated to a different country, to a different city, again, their life may be very different from how it was previously. People who were accustomed to going to the masjid every single Ramadan may not be able to go to the masjid this Ramadan. So yes, our circumstances have changed. But in every circumstance, in every situation, remember that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of thinking about what you cannot do, start thinking about what you can do. And I hope that inshallah, the things that I will mention today are things that every single person can do regardless of their circumstances, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Asr that wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr, that by time, humanity is in loss. Meaning as time passes, we are losing. We are losing something incredibly important, and that is our lives. Every day that passes means that we now have less of our lives left. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those people who believe and do righteous deeds. It doesn't say except for those people who are wealthy. who are at peace in their heart, who have no worries in their lives, whose children are independent, or who have perfect health. No, what is said is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those people who believe and do righteous deeds. This is the key to success, إيمان and عمل صالح. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and those who encourage each other to adhere to the truth and encourage each other to be patient. So I hope, inshallah, that this session will be a means of encouragement to observe patience and strength in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that as you are, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is that when it comes to worshiping Allah, we have to remember that there are two conditions. And those conditions are that whatever we do it with sincerity. We do it exclusively for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Not the way that, you know, may be pleasing to us or maybe convenient for our lives or maybe impressive to people or maybe, you know, excellent for posting photos online. That's not the goal. The goal of ibadah is to seek the approval of Allah and to do things in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So when it comes to fasting, for example, we are taught that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman, with faith, and with expectation of reward, then all of their sins are forgiven. We learn about praying in the nights of Ramadan, that whoever prays in the nights of Ramadan with iman, with faith, and with expectation of reward from Allah, then all of their sins are forgiven. So we want to make sure that whatever we do in the month of Ramadan and also otherwise, we want to make sure that we do it with sincerity and we do it seeking the approval of Allah, expecting reward from Allah. Because sometimes people think that, you know, yes, the month of Ramadan is coming, I'm going to be forced to eat less. So, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I lose some weight. Or, you know, people have these goals like, you know, this month I'm really going to prove to my family that I am a good person. That's not the goal. The goal is to seek reward from Allah, because our Lord is appreciative. He is very generous in His rewards, and He accepts the good deeds of His slaves that are done with sincerity. So that's the first thing that we have to renew our intentions, and we have to remind ourselves that this is for my Lord. I expect reward for this from my Lord. And remember that when it comes to the worship of Siyam, of fasting, then this is really a private matter between you and your Lord. So for example, who knows that, you know, you are actually really fasting? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is a matter that is secret between you and Allah, because a person can pretend to fast in front of other people, you know, by not eating in front of them, but then eating in private, right, behind a closed door. And yes, people may think that, you know, they're fasting. So who is it that really knows you're fasting? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting is an excellent ibadah through which we can practice sincerity, that we keep our actions, we perform our actions only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being true to Allah, being honest with Allah. This is the first thing. The second thing is that let us begin this month with gratitude, with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single day of Ramadan also, we should begin with gratitude, where we verbally express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, in the morning when we wake up, we're supposed to say Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana, that all praise to Allah who has given us life again. So every day is a new life. And every day that we wake up is an opportunity to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that it is not enough to just feel gratitude, that yes, I'm so happy that, you know, it's Ramadan. that I'm getting to fast, that I'm getting to pray. I have the opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love the month of Ramadan. That's great that you're feeling gratitude. It's also important that we express gratitude. And we see that, you know, there are studies that show that expressing gratitude is far more effective than just thinking about gratitude, or than even just writing about gratitude. So for example, when it comes to, you know, writing in your gratitude journal, that's a great exercise. But when you actually verbally express gratitude, this is something that is far more beneficial to your mental health, to your overall well-being. So let us begin with gratitude. When we wake up in the morning, when we're praying salah, alhamdulillah, mean it, you know, express it. And show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, thank you for another day of the month of Ramadan. The second thing is that as we wake up in the, you know, especially in the month of Ramadan, we're waking up at suhoor time to eat our suhoor. That is a time when we shouldn't just be rushing to eat. Before we eat, or before we pray, it's important that we, you know, pay attention to our body. When it comes to Qiyamul Layl, for example, praying in the night, you know, some people just have a habit of just getting up, making wudu quickly, and just praying one witr. That's okay. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his habit was that he would first clean his mouth with the siwak. He would clean his mouth with the siwak. Why? Because as we learn in, you know, some other narrations, that the mouth is the passage of the Quran. Just as the Mus'haf, the book, holds the Quran, and we treat it with so much respect, just like that, our mouth is carrying the Quran when we recite it. So we have to treat our mouth with respect as well. We have to clean it as well for salah. And sometimes what happens is that people eat suhoor without brushing their teeth, they quickly pray fajr and they go back to sleep. And in the morning, they think, well, you know what, I can't exactly use much toothpaste, so I'm just going to, you know, just swish some water around in my mouth and deal with the bad breath. So we need to be careful about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to encourage Muslims to use the siwak to clean their mouth, and he said that if it was not difficult upon the believers, I would have commanded them to clean their mouth with the siwak for every single salah. So in the month of Ramadan, it's very normal when you're fasting, you have bad breath, but just because you're fasting doesn't mean that you neglect the care of your teeth, the cleaning of your mouth, etc. Pay attention to that, because even this is ibadah. You will notice that when you clean your mouth first thing and you recite the Quran in your salah, you eat your suhoor, and then you pray fajr, you know, you will find it easier to feel awake. A lot of people are groggy at the time of suhoor. They're not able to even eat well at that time. Why? Because they haven't fully woken up. So when you clean your mouth and you pray, you make wudu, that helps you wake up. And when you wake up properly, you can eat well, you can pray well, you can recite Quran, you can make dhikr. Then the next thing is that begin your day, after your suhoor, you're going to make sure that you pray fajr in the best way. Pray fajr salah in an excellent way. In the Quran, we learn وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا, that the recitation of the Quran at the time of Fajr is witnessed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is witnessed by the angels of the night and by the angels of the daytime, meaning that is the time when the angels are changing their shifts, right? So the angels of the day and the angels of the night both are present, and they witness your recitation of the Quran. So sometimes what happens is that we rush through, you know, through our Fajr Salah because we want to get back to sleep or we want to get on with our day. But don't rush through Fajr. Allow yourself to pray Fajr peacefully. And one of the best ways that you can make sure that you pray Fajr nicely is that you recite some more Quran and recite it out loud. Even if you are praying on your own, you're not praying in jama'ah, you're not leading people in salah, you're praying on your own, you can still recite Quran in Fajr prayers out loud. And you don't have to recite a whole lot. Of course, if you have memorized and you want to recite, for example, a page in one rak'ah and another page in the second rak'ah, that's excellent. That's an excellent way of reviewing the Quran. But even if you recite, an extra surah, just so that your rak'ah is slightly longer, you are reciting the Quran that you have memorized. That is excellent for you. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the people that would any one of you like that when he returns to his family, he finds over there three large camels. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described those camels as, being large, tall, huge, pregnant, full term, female camels. Would you like that you find at home three camels waiting for you? And, while this might be a little strange for us, for Arabs, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, camels meant, transportation, a whole lot of wealth, status. And if these are female camels that are pregnant, that means that you're going to get more camels. You're going to get even richer very quickly. So the companion said that, yes, of course we would want that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that three verses that one of you recites in his prayer are better for him than three large she camels. If you recite three verses in salah, that is better for you than such and such amount of wealth. So when you're reciting, in Fajr salah, make sure that you're reciting nicely. Recite beautifully. Improve your salah in this way. And this hadith also shows us that recitation in salah is better than recitation outside of salah. So pray Fajr nicely, and especially pay attention to reciting Quran, even if it is, three verses, seven verses, 10 verses, how much ever that you know, but increase that recitation to the best of your ability. And also pay attention to praying the sunnah prayers of Fajr. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described these two rak'at as better than the world and whatever that is in it. And it doesn't take long to perform these two rak'at. And even if you are unwell, you can still perform these two rak'at sitting down, laying down. And these two rak'at don't have to be very long. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Surah Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun in the first rak'ah and Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad in the second rak'ah. So they don't have to be very long, but make sure that you pray these two rak'ah. And if, for some reason your Fajr is getting delayed and you feel like if you pray those two rak'ah and then you perform your Fard, you might end up missing your Fard or getting delayed, then you can always pray the sunnah prayers afterwards as well. And when you pray salah, pray with khushur, pray with attentiveness, with humility. Try to be still in your body. Don't fidget. Don't keep adjusting your clothing, your hijab. Make sure that you fix that before you begin your salah so that you can be fully attentive and humble in your salah. In the Quran, we learn, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That successful are the believers, those who are in their prayers humbly submissive. So be humbly submissive in your prayer to the best of your ability. And this means that your heart is attentive, but along with your heart, your body should also be still and attentive. Your eyes, your thoughts, all of them should be focused on salah. And the next thing that inshallah we all can focus on in the month of Ramadan is that make sure that after salah, you spend time remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we know we're supposed to do. But over the course of the year, we tend to lose this habit because other things become, you know, so urgent, so important. But in the month of Ramadan, you know, you can strengthen this habit by making sure that every single day, after every single salah, you spend time remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after salah, when you remain sitting in your place of prayer and you keep remembering Allah, as long as you remember Allah, the angels make dua for you. The angels pray for you that, oh Allah, have mercy on him. Oh Allah, forgive him. So for as long as you can, try to remain in a state of dhikr. And what dhikr can you make? Of course, the adhkar after salah, you know, there's Allahu Akbar, you know, astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. And then also, Rabbi a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Make sure that you have, you know, a book or, you know, an app or something that you can use to remind yourself of the du'as that you should be making after salah. Among these is, of course, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times. And if it's not possible for you to do it 33 times, because in some places, you know, the time between Fajr and the time when kids have to get ready for school and leave is so limited. So if you're in a time crunch, then don't leave this dhikr completely. At least say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 10 times minimum. Because in a hadith, we learned that is also rewardable. So 33 times each, that's the goal. But if that's not possible, you're in a time crunch, then at least 10 times. And then as you're going about your day, or for example, if you have the luxury to sleep after, you know, Fajr prayers, wherever you are, whether you are getting ready to leave for work, you are getting your family ready, you're getting your children ready to go to school, or you are, laying in bed in order to fall asleep, then at that time, make sure that you say your morning adhkar. Right, you make dhikr in the morning, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who have believed, remember Allah a lot. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, and glorify him in the morning and in the evening. So make dhikr of Allah when in the morning and in the evening. This is something that is that is extremely rewardable. Now there are certain adhkar for the morning and in the evening, and among them is, for example, to say subhanallah wa bihamdi, right? And this is extremely easy to say, whether you are driving or you are walking or you are working in the kitchen, you are ironing your clothes, you are getting your bag ready, you are going up and down the stairs, you know, even if you go for a short walk outside, or you're laying in bed, you're looking out the window, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever your circumstances are, you can still say subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah wa bihamdi. And try to say this at least 100 times in the morning. Because in a hadith, we learned that whoever says this 100 times in the morning, then no person will come on the Day of Judgment with a deed that is better than this, except for someone who has also said subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times. Meaning this good deed is unbeatable, right? So make a habit of saying subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And if you say it slightly out loud, then this will help you make sure that you actually say subhanallah wa bihamdi, because when we make dhikr quietly, what happens is that we say it a few times and then we get lost in our thoughts, right? Or we start talking to someone, and in that we forget that we were making dhikr. So if you are saying it slightly out loud, then this will help you complete the dhikr, and it will also remind other people that you are making dhikr, so they won't interrupt you. And perhaps your saying it out loud will also encourage them to say it. So subhanallah wa bihamdi, this is something that we can make sure that we do in the morning, you know, as we are getting ready for the day, or as we are even laying down to take a nap. The next thing is that in the morning, at some point, try to perform the duha prayer, or which is called the ishraq prayer. And the time for this is anywhere between once the sun has risen until right before Dhuhr. So basically, this is anywhere between 3 to 5 hours even, sometimes even more, depending on where you are and what time of the year it is. So this is an excellent time to perform the duha prayer. And what you can do is perform 2 rak'at anytime. So for some people, you know, for example, if your routine is in the month of Ramadan that you are, you know, you don't sleep right away after Fajr prayers, then once the sun has risen, you can perform the Ishraq prayer. But if, let's say, you need to sleep, you take a nap, or you have to get ready for the day, you have to take your kids to school, you have to go to work, then whenever that you wake up, whenever that you get, you know, a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, go freshen up, make wudu, and perform 2 rak'at. And if you can do 4, that is even better. If you can do 6 or 8, that is also excellent. Whatever that you can. And in the duha prayer, it's, you know, depending on your situation, again, you can recite Quran, you can recite a little bit, or you can recite a lot. Because remember that in nafil prayer, in voluntary prayers, you can hold the mushaf in your hand and recite Quran from that. So duha prayer is nafil prayer, it is voluntary prayer. So you can actually hold the mushaf and recite from it. Or if you have a stand on which you can place the mushaf in front of you, you can also do that. Because the recitation of the Quran, especially while we're fasting, this is something that is rewardable. This is something that will be a source of relief for us on the Day of Judgment. Because we learn in a hadith that on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will intercede for a person. Right, and it will say, as it will meet, you know, the person, that I am the one who kept you thirsty during the day. So yes, you know, when you're reciting the Quran, you do become more thirsty, but this will be, inshallah, a source of relief for you on the Day of Judgment. So in Surah Fatir, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala tells us that Inna al-ladina yatluna kitab Allahi wa aqamu salata وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورٍ. That indeed those people who recite the Book of Allah and they establish prayer and they spend out of what we have given them secretly and openly, expect a trade, meaning a profit from a trade that will never perish. Meaning they are investing in something the rewards of which are guaranteed. So what are these actions? They begin with the recitation of the Quran and performing salah. So if you perform the duha prayer, 2 rak'at, 4 rak'at, how much ever your situation allows you, and in that you also recite some Quran, 1 page, 2 pages, whatever you are able to do at that time, then that is excellent, because you can combine 2 acts of worship in one. And remember that the recitation of the Quran, yes, it is rewardable, but the recitation of the Quran is also a means of relief from worry and anxiety. It is something that brings us calmness and peace of mind. Because we learn in hadith about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this beautiful dua, in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that O Allah, make the Quran the springtime of my heart, meaning something that is a source of incredible joy for me, something that makes me happy and lively, right, and a means of relief of my worries and my anxieties. So sometimes, you know, when we're fasting and we have to go to work, we still have our studies, or we are anxious about how we're going to fast the whole day because, you know, it's just morning time and we already have a headache, or we are already tired and hungry and, you know, we're getting anxious. So one of the ways through which we can comfort ourselves is the recitation of the Quran. So make sure that you recite some Quran. Of course, you can recite the Quran any time of day and any time of night. You can do that. But if you fix a time for yourself that this is my Quran recitation time, then it will be easy for you to make sure that you recite Quran every single day. So fix a time. And if you fix it with, for example, the Duha prayer, then your day will begin with worship. And inshallah, that will be a source of blessing for you for the entire day. The next thing is that just because we're fasting in the month of Ramadan, or just because it is the month of Ramadan, it doesn't mean that we are no longer doing any other work, or we're no longer attending to the needs of our family or our own needs as well. You do have an obligation towards your family. You have an obligation toward yourself. In a hadith, we learn that your body has a right over you. Your family has a right over you. Your Lord has a right over you. Your guest has a right over you. So give each their right. So sometimes what happens is that we make the month of Ramadan or the fact that we are fasting an excuse for not doing anything else. But that is not correct. We have to pay attention to these matters as well. Of course, it is a bit more challenging because we're fasting. But remember, if you change your thinking, then that will affect your mood and that will affect your ability to do your work. So if you remind yourself that, for example, if you are preparing lunch for your children, right, because they're not fasting, they're going to school, right? And, you are getting a little annoyed that, I'm fasting, I should be able to rest right now, I should be able to recite Quran right now, but here I am preparing lunches, why can't other people do it? Why do I have to do it? Remind yourself that feeding people is actually rewardable. It is a form of charity. It is one of the best things that we can do. When we are taking care of our families, even if it's in the form of tidying up the house, right, or doing some laundry, or driving our children to school, or for men, or even for some women, for many women, who have to go to work and earn money to provide for their families, this is all rewardable when you're doing it with the right intention, inshallah. So remind yourself that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. I'm given these responsibilities, which I have to fulfill. And if I'm doing this, in acceptance of Allah's decree, then this will be rewardable. And sometimes it's a struggle that you really have to fight against yourself. You have to discipline yourself. But in a hadith, we learn that the best form of jihad is that you do jihad against yourself and against your desire in the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah. That you strive against your desire. Your hawa, your desire, it asks of you that you just sleep and sleep more. But this is the time when you have to pay attention to your family, for example. So you strive against yourself and you make yourself, get your children ready, get their lunches ready, drop them off to school, etc. There's reward in this for you. Don't think it's a waste of your time. There is reward in this for you. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to work at home. Aisha radiallahu anha said that he used to yarmalu fi baytihi, right? When she was asked that what is it that he used to do in his house, she said that he used to, mend his own clothes, and he used to, milk the sheep, وَيَخْدُمُ نَفْسَهُ, and he would take care of himself. We learned that that she also said that كان في مهنتي أهله. He used to be in the service of his family, right? So when you are taking care of your family, or when you are, you know, doing your work so that you can provide for your family, this is not a waste of your time. This is also a form of ibadah. This is also a means through which you can earn the pleasure of Allah. In a hadith, we learn that no man spends on himself or his family or his parents or his servant, except that it is written as a charity, that any amount that a man spends on his family, even on himself, this is written as charity. So this is not a waste. The time that you spend with your family looking after them, this is also rewardable. But of course, you have to be mindful and careful that all of your energy and all of your time is not just going into housework or in doing these kind of things. They are important, but at the same time, you also have to pay attention to the dhikr of Allah, the recitation of the Quran, etc. And if you fix a time for that, like for example, duha prayer, if you have spent 20 minutes of your morning performing duha prayer and reciting Quran and making dhikr, you're going to be in a better mood. You're not going to be feeling that your family is a burden on you. You're not going to be thinking that, you know, because of them, you can't do more worship. So fix a time for yourself. And you might have to be a little selfish over there, but if you attend to your needs, you are better equipped to deal with your family and to take care of them and provide for them. The next thing is that every single day of Ramadan, make sure that you engage in some form of tadabbur, some form of learning, some form of reflecting over the verses of Allah, you know, connecting with the sacred knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning every single day, learn something new. And this could be in the form of reading something, or it could be in the form of listening to a lecture. And depending on your situation, like for example, if you're still commuting to work, if you are, you know, if you have to take your children to school in the morning, you do the morning drive, or even if you are walking your children to school, then, you know, for example, if you have your phone with you and if you've subscribed to a podcast, for example, on the way back, you know, you can listen to something as you're walking, as you're driving. And if that is not something you do, you are at home, then again, fix a time that 10 minutes, you know, you spend in reading something, learning something. Because when you learn, when you increase in your knowledge, your mind is more active, right? You are more aware, you are more conscious. And as you are more conscious, more aware, you do the things that you typically do with more intention. And you do it more intentionally, you do it in a state that you are more mindful, in a state that you are more eager to earn the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure that you learn something new every single day. It doesn't have to be a 3-hour long lecture. Some people, mashallah, they're very fortunate. They have enrolled in certain courses. And alhamdulillah, there are many courses that are available online this month of Ramadan for you to benefit from. If you're able to do that, excellent. And if you are not in that position, you have school, you have work, then still make sure that you learn something new every single day. And it could be in the form of just spending 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but see what your situation allows, but make sure you do this. In the Quran, we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed in the creation of the skies and the earth and in the alternation of the night and the day are surely signs for people who have understanding. Meaning they learn from these things. They pay attention to these things. They're not so busy that they can't even take a moment to think about how beautiful the sky looks, they are who? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. There are those people who remember Allah while they're standing, while they're sitting, and also while laying on their sides. And they remember Allah in that state. Now think about it. You may have to stand maybe outside a grocery store because there's a lineup to enter. So maybe you're standing over there. Maybe you have to stand as part of your work, right? Your work requires that you stand and work. The nature of your work is like that. Or maybe you're standing in the kitchen, right? You're standing in a lineup somewhere. But as you are standing anywhere, this is a time for you to make dhikr of Allah. And then waqu'udan, also while sitting. You know, sometimes the nature of our work is that we're sitting at a desk, we're sitting in the classroom, we're sitting in, at home because of our health. So qu'udan, we're sitting in the car. Wa'ala junubihim, and also while laying down on their sides, because sometimes while we're fasting, we feel tired, so we just lay down on the couch or even on the bed. But because our sleep schedule has been changed, our eating schedule has changed, we find it difficult to fall asleep. So don't just, toss and turn in bed. That is an excellent time to remember Allah. You could perhaps listen to something good at that time and increase in your knowledge. So they remember Allah in all of these conditions. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect over the creation of the skies and the earth. They think. So keep your tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah. And make sure that you are more conscious, you are more aware. And one of the things that really helps that really helps us with that is if we keep learning, we keep increasing in our knowledge. So make this Ramadan a time of growth, inshallah. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. You should remember Allah a lot in order that you may be successful. And again, no matter what your circumstances are, whatever it is that you are doing, make sure that you keep your tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah. Even if you're not able to fast, and even if you are fasting, maybe when you fast, you are completely functional, right? Your energy levels are perfectly, normal. Or maybe when you fast, you have very little energy. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah is such that you can do it in any state, because you don't have to make it audible. You can, but you don't always have to. You don't have to move your tongue much, right? Because the words of dhikr, many of them, are very light on the tongue. So keep busy in the dhikr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that ala bidhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Unquestionably, with the dhikr of Allah, our hearts reassured. They find calmness and stillness in the remembrance of Allah. So even if you are feeling extremely anxious about your exams, about all the assignments that you have to submit, right? At that time also, you can make dhikr. So keep your tongue busy with the remembrance of Allah. We learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ. To say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. This is something that fills the scale of deeds on the Day of Judgment. And subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdi. You say this once and a tree is planted for you in Jannah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is a treasure from the treasures of paradise. So whatever dhikr that we can say, in another hadith we learned that the best form of dhikr is to say la ilaha illallah. So these are simple adhkar, easy adhkar, that we can say throughout the day, no matter what we are doing. Another thing is that as you are going about your day, you're fasting, you perhaps had a long morning, a long day, you went to work, you went to school, you had a lot of studying to do, you had a lot of chores to do at home, maybe you had a lot of errands to run. while you are fasting, then make sure that you take a nap. Make sure that you take a nap, and a nap does not mean that you're sleeping for 2 hours or for 3 hours or for even an hour. If your circumstances allow you to sleep for an hour during the day, excellent. But if that's not your situation, then taking a short nap of even 20 to 30 minutes, even 15 minutes, is actually very helpful. And this is something that mothers especially need to do, because you don't ever get a break, right? If you get a break physically from doing certain things, you don't get a mental break. Because as a mother, you're programmed to always think about, you know, your children, their well-being, your spouse, your family, their food, their uniform, their homework, etc. So, you know, when you're constantly working, when your brain is constantly working, you need to allow yourself to rest. So even if you can take a short nap in the afternoon or, sometime in the evening, make sure that you do that. But especially qailula, meaning the afternoon nap, that is extremely beneficial. In a hadith, we learned that you should take qailula because the shayateen, the devils, they don't take qailula. They don't take a nap. So the thing is that when you take a nap, you kind of get re-energized for the rest of the day. And the month of Ramadan is such that you want to take advantage of the day and also the night. You have to worship in the night as well. So for that, you need to be well rested. If your body has been neglected, it is getting tired, you will not have the strength to stand in prayer. You will not have the energy to recite Quran. And if you're tired, you're exhausted, you're going to be very irritable, you're going to get into arguments, and you're going to be snappy. So that might be detrimental to your fast itself. So make sure that you take a nap, and don't feel guilty about it. And even, you know, your children, you can tell them that I'm going to take a nap now for 20 minutes. When you hear the alarm, that's when I'm going to wake up, right? Communicate with your family. Sometimes when men come home from work, it's good for them that they should take a nap at that time. So, but the thing is that sometimes, men, they prioritize their rest and they don't take care of the family. So make sure that you communicate with your family and you decide when the wife is going to take a nap and when the husband is going to take a nap, so that both get to take a nap, even if it's going to be, in turns, so that the children are not neglected, work is not neglected, food is also ready on time, and everyone is fresh and active for the night worship. You see, we have to help each other worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better in the month of Ramadan. It would be really unfair that a person is expected to take care of the children, take care of the house, and also, you know, do all this physical labor of preparing food in the, you know, early in the morning, before even morning at suhoor time, and then late in the evening. They're also expected to do everything. It's unfair. Women also deserve to take a nap. They deserve to get some rest. So make sure that you communicate with your family. You decide, when is the best time, for example, for the husband to take a nap, and when is the best time for the wife to take a nap. But this is important. Everyone deserves to get some rest so that they're able to do well in the month of Ramadan. Another thing is that throughout the day, as you're fasting and as you are, doing your work or your school, your current situation, whatever that demands from you, basically, make sure that you're praying properly and you're praying on time, because إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. If you cannot do much, make sure that you're praying on time to the best of your ability, because this is one of the best good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ was asked that which actions are the best. And he said, الصَّلَاةُ لِأَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا. Prayer not just at its proper time, but at the beginning of its time. Meaning as soon as the time for prayer enters, then you pray at that time. So yes, any time that you pray within the window, that is fine. But when you pray right away, then this is even better. So make your salah a priority. Sometimes what happens is that at the time of iftar, everybody is eager to eat. So, in that, we delay the maghrib prayer. Yes, if you pray after 15 minutes, your salah is still valid. But if you pray right away, then that is even better. So remember that this is a time when we advance in doing good things, when we excel in doing good things. And it's not just the big, big things that make a difference. It's the little things also that make a difference. So yes, you can pray 15 minutes later, but you can also pray now. And if you pray now, it's just a difference of 15 minutes, but there is a huge difference in terms of reward. You never know, this might be the reason for your Ramadan being better than any other Ramadan. And along with that, when it comes to salah, make sure that you perform your sunnah prayers throughout the day. Many times what happens is that we know we should pray sunnah, but then, we get lazy or we say, it's okay, it's not fard. And we keep leaving the sunnah prayers. So make use of Ramadan and use this as an opportunity to develop the habit of praying your sunnah prayers. And these are 2 rak'at before Fajr and 6 rak'at with Zuhr. So 4 before the Fard and 2 after, 2 rak'at after Maghrib and 2 rak'at after Isha. So not many rak'at if you think about it. The only one that really many people find difficult is the sunnah of dhuhr prayers, because there are 6 rak'at. But it's possible to do it. And remind yourself that, it's Ramadan, I need to be better. I need to do more. Because there's a huge difference between people who perform sunnah prayers and people who don't perform sunnah prayers. Remember that for every sajda that we perform, every prostration, every sajda, there is reward, right? You are forgiven for your sins. You are increased in your ranks. There is a huge difference between those who perform sajda and those who don't. And every sajda counts. So people who perform sunnah prayers and those who don't, the difference between them in 1 year is the difference of 4,320 rak'at. Just imagine, 4,320 rak'at. This is the number of sunnah prayers that you can perform in a year. So performing 4,000 rak'at in 1 day, in a month, it seems to be impossible. But it's about these habits, right? If you develop this habit and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that, Ya Allah, help me. I want to do this. And keep trying. Don't give up on yourself. Maybe you used to perform sunnah prayers regularly and then you stopped. And then you started again and then you stopped. And then you started again and you stopped. Well, start again. It's okay. Start again. Because we have to keep trying, right? We have to keep striving. So these 12 rak'at, make sure that you try to get them in every single day of the month of Ramadan. And you never know, because of that, you might actually develop the habit of performing these every single day with the permission of Allah. Now, another thing is that throughout the day, while you're fasting, make sure that you make good use of your time. The days of Ramadan are not, days that we just have to survive. The goal should not just be, I need to somehow survive until I can break my fast. So I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to lay down. I'm going to be on my phone, watch one video, read something random, watch another funny video, and then maybe watch another TV series, watch another documentary, or, just listen to something random. Your goal is not to somehow survive until you can eat again. No. Every single moment while you're fasting is a precious moment. In fact, every single moment of your life is a precious moment. The Prophet ﷺ said that there are two blessings, which a lot of people neglect. They don't value them enough. مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And these two blessings are الصِّحَّة وَالْفَرَاغِ. Health, good health, and free time. So yes, you need a break to feel more energized. So for example, you play a game with your sibling, your spouse, so something like that. You do that, it's fine. But then check yourself that how much time is going into, playing games on my phone. If you're spending, an hour every single day, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. If you're spending 3 hours on social media every single day, that is, again, a lot of time. And the thing is that when we spend so much time on these things, of course, we're not going to have enough time to do other things. If you're spending too much time playing and too much time browsing on social media, going from room to room on Clubhouse, listening to random conversations, right? Sometimes so meaningless. If you're spending too much time on these things, that shows that you don't have much to do. So you need to, get yourself busy in doing meaningful things. And when you do more meaningful things, you will not have time to waste on these things. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked in the morning one day that who is fasting? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I am. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which of you went to visit a sick person? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I did. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that which of you attended a funeral today? And Abu Bakr again said, I did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, which of you fed a person in need today? Abu Bakr said, I did. Subhanallah. Any good deed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about, which of you did it? Abu Bakr said, I did. Already. Subhanallah. These are things that we can do when we make them a priority. So yes, it's possible that where you're living, maybe you're not allowed to visit people, but you can, randomly send a food order to their house so that they can enjoy a nice iftar meal, right? You can drop something at their door. You can just, drop by and say salam from outside, because when you just, come and see someone randomly even, and you greet them and they feel so happy because of the attention that you gave them, because you came and showed them your face, that will make them happy. And bringing delight to another person, this is something that is extremely rewardable. So make use of your time. Don't just wait for each day of Ramadan to end so that you can eat again. And don't wait for the month of Ramadan to be over so that you can do other things again. No, you can do these good things even in Ramadan. And this is, in fact, the best time to do these things, inshallah. Another important thing is that every single day of Ramadan, make sure that you do some form of ihsan, to your family, your loved ones, your close relatives, your good friends, your parents, because this is something that we have been encouraged to do in the Quran over and over again, that we should do ihsan, we should do good to our relatives, especially parents, and then those who are related to us, those who are in need, those who are traveling. So every day, see how you can bring benefit to these people, especially your parents. Do good to them. Make dua for them. Give sadaqah on their behalf. Your relatives, connect with them. Send a gift for them in the month of Ramadan. It could be in the form of money or in the form of other things, in the form of flowers, something, to bring them joy. Connect with them in whatever way that is possible. Another thing is that avoid talking excessively. Because talking too much, this is something that is really destructive for the heart. Yes, we need to connect with people. We need to, you know, chat and converse, etc. It's necessary, but a lot of our time should not be going into this. And especially when we're talking about he said this and she said this and he did that and she did that. This is a waste of time, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that min husnil islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Of the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves what does not concern him. So in this Ramadan, be more careful about what you are spending your time in, what you're looking at, what you're talking about, what content you are engaging with, because that will definitely have an impact on your on your well-being. Another thing is that make sure that you pay attention to your family in the sense that you encourage them to do good as well. While you are paying attention to the recitation of the Quran, and you are paying attention to, you know, remembering Allah, giving charity, etc., make sure that you include your family as well. Remind them, encourage them. So for example, if you have little children, tell them that, you know, for 15 minutes, we're all going to sit down and we're going to make dhikr, right? Maybe do some crafts with them, where you have certain adhkar written, and then each child can hold one. When they're done reading that dhikr, they can exchange, you know, do some kind of activity with children even. Keep that spirit of Ramadan alive in your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who have believed, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Don't just think about saving yourself. Save your families as well. You have to encourage them as well. So in whatever way that you can. Another thing is that every day give some form of charity. Charity does not just mean that you have to give money. Charity can also mean that you the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that when you prepare soup, then increase the volume by adding more water. Why? Because then you can share some with your neighbor. Now, it's possible that given the current condition, because of COVID, you may feel that like your neighbors may not be happy receiving prepared food from your kitchen. They might feel uncomfortable. Well, you can also share some of your groceries with them. So for example, if you get a whole lot of mangoes, for your fruit salad, maybe you can, send a fruit basket for them. Because fruit, you know, everyone has to wash and peel and cut and then eat. So inshallah, that's safe. You can do these kind of things. You can get packaged dates and you can share that. And again, it doesn't have to be too lavish. It can be from your groceries as well. Because remember, food for one is enough for two. It is enough for two. So you got a whole tray of mangoes, for example. You can share half of it with your neighbors. You can share a quarter of it. Even if you put three on a plate and you put some grapes or even some apples, some dates, something. But share some with your neighbors, even if they're not Muslim. You know, for many converts, their families, this is a good time to talk to your family about Ramadan. And this can be done with, by using food as an opportunity to share, especially dates, right? So give some form of charity. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with wealth, then it's extremely important that you give sadaqah, meaning from your money. In a hadith we learn, and this is a very serious hadith, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that I reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once while he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba. So he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, they are the losers. Humul akhsarun wa rabbil Kaaba. They are the greatest losers by the Lord of the Kaaba. Humul akhsarun wa rabbil Kaaba. They are the greatest losers by the Lord of the Kaaba. Meaning, by Allah, such people are the greatest losers. And the Prophet ﷺ said that multiple times. So Abu Dharr thought that he was saying this about him. And Abu Dharr was really worried that, what's wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? I must be a really bad person that the Prophet ﷺ is saying this to me. And then Abu Dharr was like, I couldn't stay quiet. So I just asked the Prophet ﷺ that who are the greatest losers? And the Prophet ﷺ said that they are the aktharun, aktharuna amwala. They are the people who have more money, a lot of wealth. They are the wealthy people. They are the greatest losers. SubhanAllah, we think that, you know, if someone has more money, they are more fortunate. They're more successful. But the Prophet ﷺ said that the people who have more wealth are more in loss. Except for the one who does like this and like this and like this. And the Prophet ﷺ pointed towards his front, his right, his left. In another hadith we learn he pointed towards all four directions. And what he implied by that is, except for the one who keeps spending on others. And he constantly giving. And the thing is that spending, giving does not reduce your wealth. Right? That's what the Prophet ﷺ told us. So make it a habit that in the month of Ramadan, you are actually giving charity every single day. And, you know, given, depending on your budget, this can be even the amount of $5 a day, $10 a day, or it can be more depending on you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled you. Some people think that in Ramadan, we only give zakat. Zakat, you're supposed to give when it's due. Meaning if you've had a certain amount of money of a certain kind in sitting with you for an entire lunar year, you're supposed to give zakat on it. You don't have to wait for Ramadan to give zakat unless your zakat is due in Ramadan. But along with zakat, besides zakat, we should also give sadaqah, right? We should also give charity. And charity can be in the form of money. And money doesn't just mean that you're spending on, you know, people in need. Absolutely, that is a form of sadaqah, a very important form of sadaqah. But charity also includes spending in the way of Allah, giving a donation to your local mosque, right? Giving a donation to an Islamic institute, right? an educational institute, spending on a student of knowledge, spending money on publications, right, of Islamic materials, giving money to you know, for example, someone who is striving to take a you know, not take interest and interest based loan while they're studying. So you sponsor a student. Allah has blessed you with money. You have spare money sitting with you, and you find out about, you know, a young person who is in school and they have to pay for their education and they're working. So if you have money to spare, why not bring relief to them, right? And when you bring relief to someone, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring relief to you on the Day of Judgment. He will ease your difficulties on the Day of Judgment. So there isn't just one kind of charity. There's different kinds of charities. And make sure that you contribute in different avenues, right? In different ways. You can sponsor an orphan. You can make sure that people get milk to drink, you know, good food to eat. You can spend money on their education, right? On surgeries, on people getting eyeglasses. Right, there's so many ways, mashallah. So make sure that you contribute in whatever that you can. The more, the better, inshallah. Another important thing is that every day of Ramadan, practice forgiveness, which means that you show forgiveness to other people, because we want forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he urges people that they should forgive others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ? Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? So in other words, if you want Allah to forgive you, then you show forgiveness to other people as well. And begin by showing forgiveness to your family. You know, the people who are closest to you hurt you the most. Because of course, you are interacting with them more, right? You are engaging with them more. And because of that, the chances of you getting hurt at their hands are more. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about, you know, things that cause annoyance. Like, for example, your teenager shows you attitude, right? Your spouse says something that is, you know, extremely demeaning. And you feel very disrespected. You feel like they're not acknowledging your struggle, right? Or that they neglect your needs because they say that they're fasting, right? And things like that. So show forgiveness, practice forgiveness. Why? Because when you show forgiveness, then this is something that will de-escalate the situation. The situation will not get worse. You will not end up in an argument, in a quarrel. And at the same time, inshallah, when you show forgiveness, you will also earn forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when it comes to iftar, when it comes to breaking the fast, at that time, yes, you are preparing, you know, all these good foods, alhamdulillah, but at the same time, make sure that you make dua as well. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are three people whose supplication is not rejected. The fasting person, when he breaks his fast, is one of these three people. So at the time when you break your fast, make sure that you spend a few minutes making dua. Don't just get busy in munching and, you know, in chewing good foods and enjoying all those delicious flavors. Before that, make dua for yourself and make dua for your family, your loved ones, for people in general. Another thing is that don't overdo it when you're breaking your fast, because if you overeat at the time and if you eat irresponsibly, then that is going to affect your energy levels. And that is going to inhibit you from praying in the night. And the nights of Ramadan are extremely precious. So yes, eat, but eat consciously. Make sure that you are eating foods that are hydrating, that are you know, whole foods, that don't have much oil in them. Make sure that you eat what is suitable for your body, that brings you energy, that sits well with your stomach, that doesn't cause you health issues, right? Of course, you know, your cravings, they do reach a really high level when you're fasting, but take care of your body, feed it well. And even that is ibadah, even that is rewardable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-mu'minul qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-dharif, that the believer who is strong is better and more beloved to Allah, right, than the believer who is weak. And a lot of times, our strength and weakness does, you know, yes, it is related to our, you know, physical capacity, our overall health. But, you know, a lot of times it is affected by what we eat and when we sleep and how we work and overall what our lifestyle is. If we live a sedentary lifestyle where we're not walking much, we're not moving about much, we're not hydrating our bodies, we're not eating responsibly, then of course you will have weakness. You will not have the strength to recite Quran. You will not have the strength to, you know, stand in prayer. So make sure that you eat more consciously. And also, you know, make sure that you go for a walk or, you know, you are doing some type of workout, something to freshen up your body, to boost those energy levels so that you don't, you know, become lazy and tired right after you break your fast. Another important thing is that night worship in the month of Ramadan, incredibly important, as I mentioned at the beginning, that this is a means of forgiveness for our deeds, so for our sins, our sinful deeds. So make sure that you pray in the night, every single night. It could be 8 rakat, 6 rakat, 2 rakat, whatever it is, do something. And especially seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. When you wake up for the tahajjud prayer or you stay up late in your qiyam, in the middle of your worship, make sure that you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is also a time to make du'as in the night especially. And make sure that you also get some sleep in the night, because this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would sleep in the night, even in the month of Ramadan. That doesn't mean that you sleep all night long and you don't pray any qiyam, you don't even wake up for suhoor. No, even if you can get in a few hours, make sure that you give your body the chance to rest in the night, because that is far more beneficial for the body than sleeping during the daylight hours. Finally, one last thing I want to mention is that when it comes to suhoor, make sure that you eat well. Attend to your body, because if you don't hydrate your body, if you don't eat well, it's going to affect your energy levels. If you don't have good energy levels, it's going to affect your mood. It's going to affect your work. It's going to affect your relationships. It's going to affect your ibadah. So how is it that you're going to eat at suhoor? Pay attention to that. An easy thing is, for example, if you make overnight oats, right? This is something that has helped me over the past few years. Put the oats in milk, whatever milk that you drink, and you just leave it outside. Even you don't have to necessarily refrigerate it, especially if it's just going to be sitting for a few hours. But fill it with good nuts and seeds and fruit. It will hydrate your body, and it will give you that sense of fullness. And if you eat something heavy, oily, that's going to make you really sleepy and tired. It's going to drain you of your energy levels. So eat well. And in hadith, we learn about how dates are the best suhoor. So you could also eat that in your overnight oats or whatever it is that you eat, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to worship Him in the best way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins through the month of Ramadan. May this Ramadan be a source of purification for us and increase in good habits for us, and something that will be a means of success for us in this life and in the next. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.